Father, we thank you that today we've heard the account of the suffering and death of your Son, our Saviour, for the forgiveness of our sins. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us this day by your Holy Spirit. We pray that we may rest in the victory that Jesus has won and follow him as our King. And we ask this for your name's sake. Amen. What kind of king do we want? We live in a world that is crying out for leadership. When you feel like you are persecuted, marginalized, despised, ridiculed, disrespected, you may feel a sense of resentment. You want a champion who is going to fight for you, who's going to defend your values, who's going to take charge and act decisively, who's going to restore things to the way they should be. You want someone who's going to save you and defeat your enemies. You want strength and power. This is the situation for the Jews in Jesus' day. They were under Roman occupation. The community was actually quite divided into different warring sects. There were the Pharisees who thought they could bring in the kingdom of God if everyone, just all the Jews, just obeyed all of the law for one single day, scrupulous in their reading of the scriptures. There were the Sadducees, the people who had made a political compromise with the Romans to gain power and also to, through that, preserve the kingdom. There were the Zealots who thought that the best way to respond to the political situation was by taking up arms to overthrow the Romans. And there were the Essenes who withdrew from society to maintain the purity of their own culture. But all of the Jews had a promise that one day a Messiah would come, that God's king would come to defeat their enemies and to save them. And on this day, the Sunday before Passover, they thought that the king had at last come. He rode into the holy city, Jerusalem, fulfilling the words of an ancient prophecy spoken by Zechariah. The crowds shouted the words of another ancient hymn, Psalm 118. Hosanna, which means save, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But what did Zechariah say? See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, not in strength and power, but gentle and riding on a donkey. The image Zechariah used here was an inversion of the expectations of power and glory in the ancient world. Alexander the Great was very famous for his affection for his horse, Bucephalus. And one of the murals that we have, an image of him from the ancient world, is of Alexander astride Bucephalus, who's rearing as a mighty charger heading into battle. You may have seen paintings of Napoleon, who on a horse in the same pose. This is what ancient kings did. They rode magnificent horses in triumph over their enemies. Here Zechariah says, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. This is the king who had said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Just before Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, Matthew records him as saying this to the disciples. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus does come as king. We've actually heard and seen his coronation today. He's given a staff. He has a royal robe put on his shoulders. And he's crowned with thorns. He does call us to celebrate his coming. Today is the celebration of his entry into Jerusalem in triumph as king. He says, if you're silent, the stones themselves will cry out. We have to celebrate. He does call us to bow the knee to him. He is Lord of all, and one day every knee shall bow before him and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. But he is also the king who says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. He's the king who we saw say last week, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. This is what it looks like to live as one of the subjects of his kingdom. And we've also just heard what his kingdom is, his kingship is like. He is the king who suffered and died. The king whose throne is the cross. He's gentle and humble in heart. He has come to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, even for you and for me. He saves us through losing his life. He conquers through the defeat of the cross. He brings us life through his death. And we are safe in the shadow of his cross. And because we're safe in him, we can hear his call to each one of us to lose our lives for his sake, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow him. Today we see all too clearly the weapons of this world: power, hatred, violence, ego, vengeance. This Holy Week, let us find ourselves in the old, old story that says we are loved, that says we are safe, that we are rescued and reconciled to God in the crucified King. So we can carry his peace and joy, his love and forgiveness to a hurting and anxious world. Let's pray, shall we? Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love toward the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.